morning and welcome, friends, to this, the Wednesday morning edition of the Grace Hour. Great to be with you on this Wednesday morning, where we are. And, of course, the time difference may be a little bit, maybe it's not morning where you're listening. It could be afternoon, could be evening. The other side of the world could be the next day. I'm not sure. Good to be with you, despite the fact that, we're here in the Eastern Standard Time, the Eastern Seaboard of the United States, and live right here from our studios at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach right here in Baltimore. And thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it, wherever you may be listening to or whenever you may be listening to us. Thanks for joining us on this Wednesday. We've got a great theme this week on the Grace Hour, a theme that touches all of us that are believers. In fact, I think this is a theme that touches unbelievers as well, because a lot of unbelievers want to know, if I pray, will my prayers be heard? And we'll be talking about the subject of prayer all week long here on the Grace Hour. I think tomorrow is the National Day of Prayer, and we'll be having special times of prayer here at the Greater Grace World Outreach. And, of course, our broadcast will cover this theme again tomorrow and Friday's broadcast as well. My name is Pastor John Love. I'll be your host today. Pastor Barry Quirk is joining me in the studio, as he does each and every Wednesday morning. And we're glad to be hosting the broadcast today. And we want to remind you that the phone lines will be open during our entire broadcast, as we typically keep those phone lines open for you, our listeners, so that you can join us and participate in the broadcast. If you've got a comment or a question, and I'm sure that many of you do have a lot of comments and questions about our theme this week, don't hesitate to pick up that phone and give us a call at 800-338-7060, which is, of course, the toll-free number. And you can dial that toll-free number anywhere in North America. Again, 800-338-7060. And the local number for everyone listening in the greater Baltimore area, that's 410-483-3700. And, of course, for those of you in the greater Baltimore area, a quick reminder at the outset of our broadcast today that tonight's our midweek service here at the Greater Grace World Outreach. And you're invited to join us at 7 p.m. Our service begins promptly at that time. And we invite you in for a time of worship and praise and, of course, a message from the Word of God that will deeply encourage your heart and encourage you in your walk of faith as well. Again, thanks so much for joining us. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more, because we would love to be able to reach as large an audience as we possibly can with the good news of the gospel of the grace of God. Well, again, Pastor Barry, prayer. We've got a few questions that we're going to try to do answer today in our broadcast. But I think our theme is simply this: can prayer change God's mind?
This is the million-dollar question.
Sure is.
I'm reminded, as the principal of a school, that as long as tests exist in school, prayer will also exist in school. So can God change his mind? I mean, in general, does God change his mind? I think, you know, we could surprisingly say no, our prayer doesn't change the mind of God. And we would say, well, why are we praying?
Yeah.
And those are the questions that, we'll talk about today, but realistically we know that God's ways are perfect, right? Psalm 18:30 says, as for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. And, you know, Malachi 3:6, he does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, in Hebrews 13:8. And we say, well, as Christians, if God's will is perfect and his way is perfect, why would we want to change it? And isn't it presumptuous to think that we could change his perfect will and way? So I think, obviously, we know that there's a huge emphasis on praying. We're told to pray without ceasing as believers. We're taught to bring our burdens to the Lord. And I guess the real question is, are we changed when we pray? Are circumstances changed to bring about his will when we pray? And does his sovereignty change, you know, by our prayer requests? Or are we changed by his sovereignty and purpose?
These are great questions. And again, I think you laid the groundwork, the foundation, if you will, of the fact that, you know, prayer, God, he's the one that asks us to pray.
Yes.
He's the one that says to you and I and to believers everywhere, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you don't know.
Right.
So he encourages us to pray.
Yes.
But again, to go back to that point that you made at the outset, his character never changes.
That's right.
His nature doesn't change.
That's right.
It's interesting because God doesn't change, but God can change his mind as he deals with changing men and women. Yeah. I mean, it's not too difficult to really fathom or to understand, but it is something that we have to kind of realize that you're not going to change the nature and the character of God.
Correct.
But, you know, can we cry out to him? You know, did Abraham do that when God said to him as his friend, listen, I'm going to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And then Abraham began to reason with God and pray and say, would you do it if there were, you know, like 40 righteous people in the city? And God said, no, I won't. And then he just kept, you know, the back and forth with the requests of Abraham was fascinating.
Yeah. And this is like a, you know, the big bird's eye view of the whole picture. It's important. And, you know, of course we could take this to, you know, a degree that would not be helpful to us, but just as we talk about it and banter it back and forth, I'm thinking about, you know, here's Abraham's plea with God, and was God in his master plan sitting back and saying, I'm going to bring this thing to fruition and I'm going to honor Abraham's faith, but there's a process that he's really going to have to come to me and ask to exercise his faith and to see that my character will remain. And will he see the salvation of the Lord in his prayer towards me? I think absolutely. So could we say he changed God's mind? I think God allowed his mind to be changed to develop Abraham's faith. But as you said from the onset, that his character and his nature never changed. Otherwise, we could say, Lord, you know, we're going to put together all the Christians in the world, and we're going to ask you to change the rules of salvation, just like good people in this time, right? And, of course, that's not going to happen because God has his justice and he has his love, and his justice precedes his love.
That's right.
But does he want us to pray for all those lost souls to draw near to him and to have a salvation experience with him? Absolutely. So,
yeah, I mean, these are great thoughts. You look in the Old Testament in particular, you see Joshua. He needed more time to win a battle, and he asked God to give him more time. And we read in Joshua chapter 10 that the sun stood still.
Yes.
In answer to his prayer.
Yeah.
Elijah prayed that there would be no rain, and there was no rain. And then Elijah prays again, and that there was rain.
Yes. Even
Jesus, he's praying at the tomb of Lazarus.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just see these patterns throughout Scripture where, you know, people are pleading with God. They're coming before his presence. And
yeah.
One of our questions today is, you know, do we have to be begging God? You know, is that a good method? Is that a good approach to God? And, I mean, I don't know about the begging aspect, because we read in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, that we have a throne of grace.
Yes.
That we should boldly approach
right.
in the time of need. So,
yeah.
Again, having that throne of grace, which is no longer a throne of judgment because of the work of the cross, but now a throne of grace, God says you have access to it, and I want you to come boldly. So you kind of get the idea that God wants us to interact with him.
Yes.
The basis of that interaction, of course, is faith.
Yes.
And that's so crucial for us to understand.
Yeah, and the basis for our faith is his faithfulness, right?
Yeah.
So this is really a beautiful part of it. And, you know, should we beg God? Well, he asks us to persevere in prayer, right? He tells us to pray without ceasing. You know, the fact that we have the mind of God in our hearts, you know, we want the mind of God. We pray for wisdom. We pray for salvation. We pray for healing. These are things that we are trusting God. And just because they haven't happened yet doesn't mean that it's not his will to do it. It means that maybe his will is for us to persevere in prayer to the point where he decides now is the appointed time for this thing to happen. So there is some, you know, some definite childlike faith there, and we know that a child could ask for something to the point of, you know, forcing a move on the behalf of the parent, saying it's either no, final, be quiet, don't ask me again, or it's like, okay, here, just have it. So we kind of in our humanity picture God, you know, being there, the decision's up in the air, and we're just, you know, going to manipulate him into a decision. And I think part of it is that, again, God's sovereignty, God's answer for that prayer is there for the waiting. But his process is that he's waiting for his people to ask him in faith and in his nature to do something that's going to be consistent with his character and nature. And then we say, why wouldn't God want to give beautiful, great, good, and precious gifts to his children?
Yeah.
And turning back the sun, or, you know, allowing more time in these things. They all accomplished God's purpose, right? And I love the fact that men of God were bold to say, God, would you do that? You know, here's the nation of Israel being chased out of Egypt, and the Egyptians are right on their tail. And what happens? He opens up the Red Sea for them to be able to cross. And that's pretty amazing and astounding. Is God able to do the impossible? Well, he's demonstrated it over and over and over in the scripture. What's our part in it? Well, we ask God to do the impossible. But really what we're saying is, God, would you achieve your purpose in our prayer? Could you really help us to adjust to your will, see your salvation? And maybe his salvation doesn't come in the form that we think it's going to come.
Yeah.
But it's always going to come.
Amen. Yeah, behind prayer is trust. Mm. And that's what God seems to be looking for.
Yes.
You know, have you, prayer, does God answer prayer? Yes. And I think he will agree to fulfill some of our requests according to his will and according to his perfect timing.
Yes.
So the one answer to that question, does God answer prayer, is of course, yes.
Of course he does.
Why else would he ask us to call unto him if he had no plans to answer us? Or, you know, you're just wasting your time and you're wasting your effort and you're wasting your words. No, he means it when he says, you know, you come to me. Hmm. But I love what John brought out in his gospel in the 15th chapter, this whole principle of abiding in Christ.
Yes.
He said, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. A couple of conditions there, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
You've got to abide in Christ. That means, you know, you just dwell with him by faith. And my words abide in you. In other words, you're making an effort to take the word of God into your soul, hopefully on a consistent basis. Mm. Then he said this, you can ask what you will, and it will be done unto you.
Mm.
So it seems as though those two conditions, if they are met, you know, is the bedrock of answered prayer in the believer's life.
Yeah, and we see it in James chapter 4, verse 2, you have not because you've asked not, but then sometimes you don't have it because you've asked amiss, which means I'm not abiding in him if I'm asking for something that's outside of his character or nature. You know, if we ask for bread, he doesn't give us a stone. He wants to provide for us. We're his children. There's three actual prayer or responses to prayer in the old country song that said, you know, some of the best prayers are the unanswered ones.
Amen.
You know, we're not as smart as we would like to think we are. And sometimes we ask in our immaturity, in our faith, or we're just young believers, or in our zeal, we ask for something that we really don't know the full consequences of what it would be. And God, in his faithfulness to us, says, I love you, I love your faith, I love your zealousness. My answer is no. And we say, but God, I'm asking. And he's like, yes, and if I gave you according to how you're asking, you would hate me later, right? But then the other answer is yes, right? We say, God, I know this is a far-fetched request, but I would really like to be in your plan. Could you use me beyond what my imagination ever is? And he says, sure, thank you. I'm waiting for your availability for that. Then the third answer is just wait.
Yeah.
Wait. Amen. And that's an answer. That's an answer. It's, hey, I may or may not. But I love the fact that you're coming to me and asking, and we're having fellowship. And we can relate as dads, you know, everything our kids ask us for is not automatically a yes. They don't know what's best for them. My 5-year-old daughter, when she's 5 years old, is asking me for candy for breakfast. I'm not going to give it to her because I know that she's not going to feel well throughout the day. But it doesn't mean I'm going to withhold breakfast either. You know, I'm just helping her to see what's the right and healthy thing to do. Mm-hmm. And the same way with God, we're asking him sometimes in our immaturity for something. And he's saying, you don't even know what you're asking me right now. But the good thing is I am immutable. I'm not going to change, but I am going to show you some beautiful things that you know not of.
Yeah.
Like Amen. Jeremiah 3:15 says. Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah. And of course, you wouldn't give your five-year-old daughter candy for breakfast. But I'll tell you something. When you have grandchildren, that might change.
That might
so
change.
So just giving you a heads up. Not that I've ever done that.
No, of course not.
But isn't it interesting that we say, yes, God answers prayer. Mm. But when he says no, some people can react toward that.
Yeah.
But isn't that just as much an answer as yes?
Absolutely.
It's an answer.
It's an answer.
I mean, sometimes when you ask for something, you get this answer, no.
Yeah.
And why we rebel against that and why we become upset or angry about that is because it's not what we, you know, it's not what we want.
Yes.
But again, foundationally speaking, there should be this attitude that's, you know, established in our hearts, which says, nevertheless, not my will, but mm-hmm. thy will be done.
Yes.
If God says no, you got to believe there's a good reason as to why he says no.
Yes.
Perhaps he's protecting us or keeping us safe from harm, or perhaps he's overruling because in his omniscience, he knows that something is going to be brought into our lives that yes. could cause harm or destruction. So clearly, it's an answer.
Yes.
Maybe not the one we want to hear, but it is an answer.
You know, we pray, God, get me on this airplane. I need to be on that airplane. Please, I have to do this. I have to do this. And he doesn't allow it to happen. And then there's a catastrophic airplane crash. And we say, wow, thank you for not answering my prayer. I didn't even know what I was asking, right? And, you know, that's just a small example. But also, a child, you know, you have your parents come and take you out of school and say, hey, guess what? We're going on a little trip. And you say, oh, I want to go here. I want to go here. I want to go here. And no, we're not going to go there. I want to go. No. Because they have a plan to take you for a week to Disney World or some crazy place, you know, and your small measure of imagination, you know, just wants to go to McDonald's. But they're saying, oh, we have something so much better for you. But the element of trust, you grow in the element of trust. As a child, you don't really know how much you should trust. You do trust because you don't have any choice. But also as you grow and you start to wonder, the more you get to know the character of who it is that you're putting your trust in, the more beautiful your relationship is with that, because you trust that they love you and that they care for you and that their will is the one that's going to actually bring you the blessings in your life.
Yeah. That is so true. And that waiting aspect of the whole idea behind prayer is so vital. Mm-hmm. Psalm 27, verse 14 talks about waiting upon God. Again, he says, I say, wait upon the Lord.
Yes.
Some believers have asked the question, well, why does God seemingly load us up with all of these needs, and we have all these needs that result in prayer requests and but I think that the reason behind it is that the needs drive us to prayer. And when we're in prayer, that brings us into the presence of God. And oftentimes what we've discovered is that we need the presence of God more than we need an answer to our prayers.
Yeah, right? It's the vehicle that drives us there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so that happens in our lives, and we're like, wow. And sometimes you can just say, I'm not even sure what it was I was asking for. All I know is that prayer drove me into God's presence. I found rest there. I found peace there.
Yes.
I found confidence there to move ahead in my life without necessarily the circumstances having been changed or the prayer to have been answered in an affirmative way.
Yeah. And I think of times that I've woken up in the morning with a burden on my heart, and it draws me to God to ask for the burden. And as soon as I start talking to God, a different thought comes in, and I realize that the burden that I had on my heart was an important one to God, obviously, but it might not have been the paramount importance that he had for me for that day. And he's faithful to reveal to me what that thing that he puts on my heart. And actually, the answer to that earlier request or burden oftentimes comes when I'm trusting him for something else. So just that I love that picture that he draws us into fellowship with him. And our prayer sometimes can be us going with youthful zeal saying, I'm going to get God to answer this prayer. And God says, come on in and let's talk. And as I'm praying and thinking and studying my Bible and his word, and he's reminding me of things and comforting me with things, I realize that I'm being drawn to his will. And his will is the one that's going to stand and has the value at the end. We don't understand what our will would bring. We think we know, but oftentimes we don't. Yeah. But we can be assured that everything that he says in his word is yea and amen.
Amen to that. Mm. Friends, the phone lines are open. You can join us if you like. 800-338-7060 is the toll-free number, a number you can dial anywhere in North America. And if you're joining us locally in the Baltimore area, you could join us at 410-483-3700. Mm. And here's a good question, one that fits into our theme today in the Grace Hour. How long should we keep praying? Mm. You know, this is a – I've had people say to me, you know, I've been praying for this particular need for over a year now. Should I still keep asking God, or should I just leave it at the, you know, at the foot of his throne and now just rest and stop asking? Sometimes I feel like all I'm doing is bothering him. How long should we keep praying for?
Yeah, well, it should be exactly 11 weeks, 3 days, and 7 hours.
Yes.
I mean, you know, we have no clue how long. We do know that we're, even in our prayers of faith, we're kind of doing it in obedience to God's drawing. And if there's a burden in our heart, I don't think there's anything wrong with praying. I mean, if we haven't gotten the yes, no, or wait, then we're looking for that answer, then we're asking. And perseverance in prayer is amazing. But I do like that when we pray, first of all, we can be thinking about things that God is asking us to pray about. And a few of those things just quickly might be that the Bible tells us to pray for our enemies, tells us to pray to send missionaries. He tells us to pray that we don't ourselves enter into temptation, that we would be ministers of the word. He tells us to pray for our government and our authorities. Lord knows that needs to happen. Pray that we get relief from affliction. You think about the Apostle Paul praying relief, 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 and God saying, my grace is sufficient for you. That was an answer to prayer. Would you take this thorn from me? No, I'm going to give you my grace, which is more sufficient than me removing that prayer. Imagine the end result of your prayer is I'm going to give you something to live in that so far surpasses if I were to pull the thorn out and heal that situation, you wouldn't get the blessing of my grace being dependent in your life. So that's another answer to prayer. Lord, help us, help us, help us. And then healing for people. Those are things that God says, pray for earnestly, right? Pray for all those things. And as we do that, I don't think there's a timetable on that. Mm. I think, you know, if God's answered and I don't like his answer, and then I'm still asking for the same question over and over again. And we see this in the world of counseling that you can probably find the answer you're looking for if you go to enough counselors.
That's right.
But if you're really objective and you want to hear from God, then you go where he leads you to go, and then you trust God for the results. And I'm not saying that there's not, you know, health in a multitude of counselors, but if you have a purpose that you're looking for an answer, you're going to go until you find it. That's not objectivity. That's subjectivity.
Yeah.
One of our listeners, Carol, says, pray until the answer comes. Amen.
Yeah.
Pray for a yes. Pray for a no. Pray for a wait. But how about let's let God be God and every man a liar, because we don't know all the answers and he does.
That's right. Yeah, I was thinking of the same song that Carol brought up. You know, we hear it. We sing it in our own church services.
Yes, we do.
Pray, keep praying, keep on praying until the answer comes.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's the right thing to do.
It is.
You know, and if someone comes to us and says, you know, there is a critical need, someone in my family, a loved one, someone I know has been diagnosed with cancer, and the doctors are not giving them any hope. It's in our DNA to turn to God and to ask him, could you know, in your grace, in your mercy, in your wisdom, can you heal that person? Mm. Can you extend their life? Can you? And it's just part of who we are. We're so used to, if we can use that term, approaching God and asking God. Because he is the one that says, you know, ask of me.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Seek, knock, ask.
Yeah.
These are things that Jesus said. So, yeah, we do. We just keep praying until the answer comes. And that answer might take quite some time before it comes. But, but boy, when the answer comes. And this introduces us to another thought in the subject and theme of prayer. And that is, you know, don't forget the gratitude.
Mm.
Philippians chapter 4, you know, where it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer with supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That's such an important factor, isn't it, when it comes to prayer?
It really is. And I think about, you know, as when my daughter was young, we used to, Pastor Schauer used to come and pray at our house in Bel Air. We had a few pastors that lived in the area, and they would come in the morning. And she was just a little girl, but she would sit and listen, you know. And funny thing is that she would say, Dad, I want to pray like Pastor Schauer. And I said, well, really, how does Pastor Schauer pray? She goes, And then, but the other thing that I listened, that I really enjoyed about that is when the prayers were going on, it wasn't, Lord, would you speak to us? Lord, could you show us your will? It was, thank you that you do speak to us. Thank you that you show us your will. Thank you that your presence goes with us. Thank you that we have your comfort. Thank you that we have your peace. And I learned how to pray in the finished work, like that God has supplied so many things. We have so many things that are given to us as an inheritance that we could miss, right, if we don't pray knowing that, God, you have provided for us, and help us to see it. Help us to feel it, Lord. Help us to experience it. And you know, we pray, we're praying without ceasing. And also, we don't know how many years it takes for something to come to fruition in God's timing. I mean, I think about Abraham and having a child that, you know, that was a promise that was given, and waiting for it to happen, and even forcing the issue, you know, with Hagar. And God said, no, I got a plan, and it's still my plan. And it's, you know, you've thrown a monkey wrench into it a little bit here, but I still have a plan, and it's in his timing. So who knows? And the people that are praying, that is bringing glory to God. You know, somebody's praying for, wouldn't God love to heal somebody to bring himself glory? And wouldn't God love to use us to be the ones who are asking for that to bring glory to God? God, it would bring glory to your kingdom. Would you do it? And he's ultimately the one who decides what brings the most glory. But he uses us as the vessels of prayer through faith and living in his grace to experience that.
How would you respond to someone who asked this question? You know, look, God used to do these things in the past. He used to heal people. He used to answer prayer, but it doesn't seem like that's the case any longer. In other words, you've got an Old Testament God that responded to people one way, but you have a New Testament God who responds differently to people today. How would you approach an answer to that question?
Well, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, he doesn't change. Does modern technology change who God is? No, it doesn't. You know, does our belief or unbelief change who God is? No, it doesn't. God spoke in, you know, days gone by to holy men in the days of old, and he gave them his word, and he put it, he moved them to write his word. He showed us his faithfulness, revealed it to men. He did things in the Old Testament that were very necessary for us to see his faithfulness. But is that word that explains that any less true for today? You know, does he need to come back and heal the leper again in New York City in Times Square just so that people will get saved? I mean, he does that on a regular basis in his sovereignty. He heals and he quickens. But we have a tremendous word of testimony, right? We have an amazing word of testimony that's available to us that reveals the faithfulness of God. And that faithfulness has not changed. I would say to that person, show me where God is not answering prayers today, where he's not faithful, where he doesn't reveal himself, because I see it again and again and again. When we have made decisions in society that should be the end, somehow, some way, he miraculously pulls through for us, shows us the way out of a trouble. I see the faithfulness of God everywhere.
Yeah. Again, it's such a great principle to meditate upon. Again, your phone calls are always welcome on the broadcast. If you'd like to join us, don't hesitate. We would love to hear from you. Nestor has written to us. He says, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, it says that we should be praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So prayer isn't something that we kind of want to pigeonhole, you know, and set apart certain times. And I don't want anybody to misunderstand what we're saying. You can have scheduled prayer times and scheduled prayer meetings. We do that here in our ministry.
Yeah.
In fact, tomorrow is our National Day of Prayer. We're committing ourselves to a whole number of hours to be praying for the needs of our country, the needs of the church, and whatever requests are brought to our attention. But praying without ceasing, you know, sometimes you may be driving and, you know, you certainly don't want to bow your heads and close your eyes when you're doing that. But you can have an attitude of prayer all the time when you walk before God. You know, they could be simple prayers, short prayers. Someone has referred to them as microwave prayers, you know, very quickly. But that's a good way to keep your relationship with God fueled and open and, you know, both ways. Because, you know, God, we speak to God in prayer, but don't for a moment think that God can't speak to us when we pray.
Absolutely.
Right.
I love that thought. And those microwave prayers, and thank God now we can even drive a Tesla and he can bow your head and close your eyes.
Be careful.
Be careful. but, you know, we can speak to God in prayer, and I think he really does love the fact that we pray. You know, there's two kinds of praying. Actually, there's several kinds, but we have a prayer closet, as somebody actually asked about our prayer closet. You know, our place where we get alone with God and we are refreshed. And when you think about the whole John 13 washing of the feet, the place that starts is where Christ gets alone and gets the mind of his Father. And what is the mind of his Father? Love and serve men. So he washes their feet, and then he sits down with them at a table of fellowship, and fellowships around the love and faithfulness, servitude, all of those things that happens from our private prayer life. But just like in soul winning, like we have a specific time in our lives that we set aside. You know, maybe we go on an outreach, or we go to a blitz, we take the kids out like you've always done, and we pray, God lead us to people to win to Christ, and we have a purpose set aside time. That doesn't mean when you're driving through the drive-thru at the Dunkin' Donuts and the person says, hey, what are you doing today? Or what do you do in life? And you say, well, I'm glad you asked. And you happen to have an opportunity to pour out the gospel. It's in you wherever you go.
That's right.
We might have specific times set aside for that prayer, but also our attitude of prayer is everywhere we go. And how much do we love it when we just have a casual conversation with our family? And someone says, hey, Dad, you know, what are you doing today? Or, well, I'm glad you asked. Let me talk to you about that. That is a beautiful part of our relationship. It doesn't always have to be a formal sit down. I need an answer to this trouble in my life. I just need your guidance today, right? And I do want to say it's also interesting that in Luke 22:42, when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, his prayer is it possible to take this cup from me? Like, boy, in my flesh, I don't think I really want to bear this burden anymore, but not my will, but your will be done. And in his final prayer there, his final conclusion in his prayer was the most important thing is what your will is, God. But I'm going to communicate with you about my burden.
Yeah.
This is heavy. This is hard. But would you do your will? And ultimately, that's what's going to bring completion or satisfaction to the picture.
Yeah. And of course, that brings us to that passage that we read in 1 John 5:14-15, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And I think that there has to be that commitment that's already been made in our hearts to do as God would choose for us.
Yes.
Because if that isn't the case, it's kind of like a little story that I read about a dad driving his car, and his young daughter was standing up in the front seat. He said, listen, you know, sit down and put your seatbelt on. And she said, no. And he said, he asked her again, sit down, put your seat. No. He said, if you don't put your seatbelt on and sit down, I'm going to pull this car or I'm going to spank you. And so she did. And after she sat down and put her seatbelt on, she said, I'm still standing up in my mind. What's that? That's kind of like a rebellion in our hearts.
Yes.
And if that exists, then really we're not committed to do as God would choose for us. Mm. We are not allowing God to overrule our request, whatever that request may be. We're just not submitted to God in our hearts. And I think that, you know, a lot could be said about that attitude that Jesus had in the Garden of Gethsemane. Mm-hmm. And I like the point that you made as well, that often Jesus would sometimes, you know, he would just leave his disciples and go into the presence of his Father,
yes.
go up into the mountain, pray by himself.
Yes.
And if Jesus, who was God in the flesh,
mm-hmm.
found it necessary to do that, to have those times, to separate himself from people, so that he could be alone with his Father
yeah.
and bring whatever needs he brought to his Father, how much more important it must be for you and I to do that as well.
Yeah, because our prayer lives are not really an opportunity for us to impress other people with our knowledge of the Bible or, you know, how we have a heart for this. It's praying in secret before God and really asking him for his will and for his purpose in our lives and to answer prayers of faith. Let's ask. Now, I just to flip back here, I like the thought that you said, you know, my life is a big lump of clay. It's a big lump of clay. Let's face it. There's going to be a lot of things that happen in my life that are going to form who I end up being. If it is in my heart from the beginning that I have a purpose that I want to end up at, and it's got to be this way, then everything I'm asking for along the way for God to form in me to get me to that result is going to be a foolish prayer. It's going to be asking amiss because I'm trying to arrive at a conclusion that God's purpose is not in, right? And this is the same thing about the person who's saying in their heart, fine, I'm sitting down, but I'm still standing up in my heart.
Yeah.
Because what if we say to God, boy, I am a lump of clay, and I hope that you'll find a way to use me in a way that will make that clay productive. I kind of have an idea, but don't let that restrict you, God. Use me in a way that would be your way. And we find out many times that his way is so far above our way, how we could have ever imagined it or dreamt it. And, you know, we are experiencing things in our lives. You go into a locker room and a professional athlete asks you a question about the Bible, and you're prepared and spirit-filled, and you give him something that he wouldn't have had without that question being asked. And I would imagine there's times when you're driving home going, oh yeah, that guy, I'm listening to the interview on the radio. I just got to share with him about eternity in the locker room. And it blows our minds. Like growing up in high school, I never imagined you'd have me in that place where people who are the supposed fame, you know, the famous and the wealthy and the important influencers in our society are asking me, would you help direct me towards salvation? It's amazing. It's amazing how God uses us above and beyond all that we ever could have asked or thought. Yeah. If our heart is in the right place with him, would you use me according to your will, not yeah. according to mine?
Amen. You can't help but go back to the point you brought up earlier in the broadcast about unanswered prayers.
Mm.
Yes, we will be grateful when we're in the presence of God for all those prayers that were answered.
Yes.
But the ones that went unanswered, we will probably be just, if not more grateful for those. Because I think to myself, you know, the one person I prayed I would marry, I didn't. And how grateful I am that I didn't marry that person, but married the person that God had prepared for my life and my future.
Yeah.
There's so many of those. You know, it's just like God saying, listen, can you trust me?
Mm.
Can you wait upon me? Can you just... If you'll trust me, it's kind of like the 11-year-old asking her father for a car.
Yes.
Dad says, no, you're not getting a car. And then, you know, she keeps asking when she's 13 and then 14. But then she's 16. But her father still waits for her to ask.
Yes.
And then he says, yes, the time is right. You've matured, you've grown, you have more responsibility, you have a better understanding, and then that prayer request is granted.
Yeah.
You got to believe that God operates that way in our lives as well.
Yay and amen. And also, did the Father already have it in mind? He had that car set aside for her. He was waiting to give it to her, right? Our Father is anxiously awaiting to load us with his benefits.
Good gifts, right?
Good gifts. And the point is, the father did wait until his daughter was old enough to actually understand that you're not getting this gift because you're begging me. I'm not giving it to you before you are able to responsibly use it. I'm going to wait until you're at an age where you'll understand that there's a real value to it, but also there's you have accountability for this gift and you have responsibilities and it's challenging and you have to learn to use it in my will or, you know, just like our authority with God. I love the other night in our message when Zane was speaking about the difference between power and authority. You know, there's a lot of power out there. There's a lot of powerful people, people who are in the spotlight that they don't necessarily have authority with God and they could misuse their power. But these are the kinds of situations where we trust God. He'll not only give us authority, but he'll give us the power to experience that authority in a way that is valuable to the kingdom of God.
Some of the requests that God longs to answer, you know, wisdom.
Yes.
You know, if anyone yes. lacks wisdom, let him ask of the yes. giving God who loves to give men, you know, liberally and does not upbraid. Solomon is a beautiful example of someone who, you know, God said, ask anything of me.
Yeah.
And instead of asking for, you know, power and influence and money and gold and so many other things that could be on people's lists, he says, God, I want wisdom. I don't even know how to go in or how to go out. I need wisdom. And yeah. God was so pleased with that request.
Yeah.
And you have to believe that when we cry out and ask God for the same wisdom, or maybe it's Christ-likeness, Lord, you know, make me more like your son. You know, I mean, that's totally agreeing with the will of God, because we know in Romans 8:29, God's plan is to conform us into the image of his son.
Yes.
And when we have that kind of a prayer request before God, you can just imagine how he delights in answering those kind of requests.
Yeah, and we could honestly say in that case that all things work together for good, for them that love God, them that are the called according to his purpose. So they could look at the circumstances and say, I've been asking you in this area. You chose to answer this way. Boy, the results are going to be in you. They're going to be purposeful. They're going to be eternal. And they're not going to be something that's going to be consumed upon my own lusts. Excuse me, my voice is starting to give out here. Pray for a new voice.
There you go.
But yes, I love that. And also, we look at the examples of prayer that we've had throughout the Bible. You know, Paul prayed for the healing of or the salvation of Israel in Romans 10:1. David prayed for mercy and forgiveness when he sinned, Psalm 51:1-2. And the early church prayed for boldness to witness in Acts 4:29. All those things were given that the ministry of Christ would go forward, not that their own glory would reign true or that they would find something that built, you know, an edifice to themselves. We always say about how do we know the Bible was written by God? Well, if man wrote it, there would be a lot of statues and a lot of, you know, putting people on pedestals. Whereas when God reads it, we see man is who he is, depraved and wicked, and yet given an opportunity for a U-turn. Like yeah. I heard in our high school chapel this morning, that God gives us the U-turn of the cross.
Yeah.
And we can come to him and know that he is salvation waiting to happen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, this is such a great theme. And we'll kind of wrap it up, Pastor Barry, this a little question that was posed to us is, you know, what about this idea of begging? Must we be reduced to begging before God, or is there a better approach?
Yeah, I think, excuse me, I think, again, the right word would be persevering with God. You know, if we have to beg God, God, just answer, you know, we're not going to change God's character, sovereignty, and nature because we want something that we want. But we are going to see God's faithfulness when we come to him and say, I want to know what you want in this situation. And I know that if I'm asking you for bread, you're not going to give me a stone. So when your answer is given to me, no matter how it appears, there is something that's going to be given to me that is an answer to that prayer. And I'm going to persevere in prayer until that answer comes. So begging, you know, does my begging, does my nagging God, I don't like to think of it that way. I like to think of it that my prayers are sweet sounds to him. They are, especially when they're asked in his way. As you said earlier, We're speaking to God in our prayer, but God is speaking to us. When I'm praying, is he giving me an answer? Have I stopped to listen in my prayer? So much of prayer is listening quietly, meditating, waiting for the answer, looking through the scriptures, pouring through. So do I have to beg God? I don't think I have to beg him like somebody who is a beggar that doesn't have anything. Mm. I go to him with authority in prayer and faith and say, Lord, would you answer? And I can keep asking him, would you answer? Would you answer? Would you answer? And when the time's right, he will answer.
It's always great to remember that he is our Father. We are his children.
Yes.
A father loves to give good gifts to his children.
Yes.
It's a great way to, well, for to all of us to be reminded that, you know, does God answer prayer? Yes.
Unequivocally.
Is sometimes the answer no? Yes. But that's an answer.
Yeah.
And sometimes he might just say, wait.
Yeah. And if I really trust him, that no will be revealed as the biggest yes that I've ever seen. You know, that's those unanswered prayers in our lives. God is so faithful. And we can identify when you say, I have a plan. I have a spouse picked out. I have a job picked out. I have this picked out. I have that picked out. And God says, what I have for you is so far above what you could ever ask or think of. Trust me, and I'll show you things that you know not of.
Mm. It's always good to write your plans in pencil because God may want to change them. Friends, thanks so much for joining us. Pastor Barry, great to be with you. And we've got another Grace Hour broadcast coming up tomorrow, friends, and we hope that you'll join us then. Don't forget our midweek service tonight right here at the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore at 7 p.m. We hope you can make it out. Until tomorrow at the same time, may God bless you.